Howdy and good afternoon. I'm sorry I'm the last person to keep y'all pinned to a chair in a meeting room. My name is John Riccone, and I'm the graduate research assistant for Dr. Tom Cawthon, and I'd like to thank him ahead of this. Without his help and aid and thought process, a lot of our research wouldn't be done. I'm with Texas A&M University, and this past year I looked at something that has kind of been on my mind. Can we make a cottonseed grow longer by maintaining its plant health? In an effort to prevent insect resistance, after September of 2009, our first generation Bolgard 1 varieties will no longer be available on the marketplace. This presents a large problem to many producers in the United States. Delta Pine Triple Nickel 555 Bolgard 1 Roundup Ready is the most planted cottonseed in the United States in recorded history. Many farmers in our area, southern United States, South Texas, and in the Mid-South plant this variety because of its yield potential and its vigor. So, in response to this, we came up with a question. Can, by using chemicals to counter plant stress, would this be a viable option to increase yield potential and season length in mid to full season varieties? So our objectives were to determine the effect of strobing-containing fungicides on plant vitality during the blooming stage of growth and final lint yield parameters using headline pyraclostrobin and quadris azoxystrobin-containing fungicides. Ultimately, we wanted to determine the effects of these strobin-containing fungicides on plant health and if the possibility of extending a mid to full cotton line further out to a full season variety to fit the niche. The hypothesis was stated, it is believed that with increased plant health care during the blooming period, the season can be elongated and possibly increase our lint yield parameters. The methods and materials on our fungicide application trial, we conducted it at the Texas AgriLife Farm in Burleson County, which we should have been in Arizona. We had no rain the entire year. It didn't matter where you put it. The field trial was conducted on Stoneville 4554 Bolgard 2 Roundup Ready Flex. That was our general seed that we used across our entire setup. And the treatments that we used consisted of labeled applications of these fungicides at the early bloom period and early bloom plus 2 weeks. And we defined early bloom as 5 blooms per plot at any given time. That's what would trigger our applications. And then following that recorded date, the 2 week application. The data collection that we needed to receive and to make this viable, we had to take a lot of parameter measurements. We used height to node ratios, nodes above white flower, final plant mapping, yield, and lint quality, which made for a very large project, immensely large. To analyze all of the data, we used the SAST statistical analysis system, and we used 0.1 as our alpha for a field setup. In the beginning, we were going to start with a 0.05, but with the amount of stress and deterrence to plant health that we had, heat, sunlight, wind, if anything was going to show up, we figured this would be a good alpha for us this year. And the project was set up in a randomized complete block design. Here's our treatment list, and we did these with both fungicides on a large scale, and I'm sure that my student workers don't like me for it. So we had our untreated control. We went out with labeled recommended quadris at 6 ounces, early bloom, picks at early bloom, Roundup Weather Max at early bloom. Then we piggybacked picks and quadris to early bloom and Roundup into quadris. With these treatments, we wanted to make sure that if a farmer's gonna go out there and he's gonna try to conserve as much money as possible, could he possibly get the same effects with other chemicals in his tank? So we included these in this year's study. Then we go back with quadris alone at early bloom plus 2 weeks, Roundup, Weathermax, and Quadris at the respective rates at 14 days after early bloom, and then Pix and Quadris, and then the final, if anything's going to work, let's dump the kitchen sink on it. So we went Quadris, early bloom, and early bloom plus 14. And here again, we set up the same scenario with Headline to determine whose fungicide could do it and if it could possibly happen. So we set up the same regime, Headline, 6 ounces, early bloom, all the way down to the double shot of Headline at early bloom and early bloom plus 14. Throughout the year, we waited a lot on rainfall, like waiting on a pot of water to boil, but there was no water in it. We had to irrigate heavily, so we were under the worst stress conditions possible for our location in the Brazos Bottom. And the results. Here's the output table from SAS for our Quadris trial, using azoxystrobin as our active ingredient. Across the bottom with the SAS alpha output at 0.1, we saw no statistical difference in any of the parameters we measured. Even on lint, we maintained that there was not a statistical difference in any of our output. So we were disheartened and broke down, and now the world's going to end and we can't save it. Then we evaluated the Headline study. We put in all the parameters, months and weeks of data collection, and finally ran the statistics, and we got something to jump out at us. So maintaining a p-value of 0.08, maintaining significance, our output being untreated control, having 703 pounds of lint per acre, and our Headline at early bloom, and Roundup with Headline at early bloom plus 14, both of them being at plus 14 days after flowering, we saw a large increase in yield. So we ran it again, and we ran it again, and people tell me the more you crunch numbers, the more it might tell you something you want to hear. So we kept running it and running and running, but we maintained statistical significance and a difference in our output for lint. Also, plot weight being a factor of our lint calculations, it also had the significance. Our p-values adjusted themselves using percent turnout with research style tabletop saw gins that we use to process all of our seed cotton for lint measurements. To let it be known a little more, and so you can visually take it in, we set it up, untreated control, average 700 pounds, and here we go again with our Headline and at early bloom plus 14, and Roundup with Headline at early bloom plus 14, and our significance value. The double shot of Headline being statistically significant was not as good as our two shots at early bloom plus 14, but still maintained a high value. So our conclusions were, at an alpha of 0.1, none of the parameters were met in Quadris for statistical difference. However, we still have over 2,000 plants to final plant map. So we still have potential to see something with this combination of chemicals and their interaction in our fields. Our conclusions for Headline: at an alpha of 0.1, Headline significantly increased lint yield over the untreated control. However, all other parameters that were collected, such as nodes above white flower, height to node ratios, and lint quality, were not statistically significant. And yet again, we still have final plant mapping for this trial to be done, to be finished earlier in the spring. The future work is what will give us true significance of the entire study. This represents just 1 year of a 3-year study that I will be doing for my master's degree, and it'll take replication. I want to make sure if the fungicides would have worked in a year of high stress, high intense heat, sunlight, and wind, we got the perfect fit this year. So next year, maybe I'll never have to turn an irrigation pump on, and it might still work. So therefore, it is necessary to replicate this trial and other growing seasons environments to confirm these results from this initial year. My acknowledgments, I'd like to thank Brad Mitten, Josh Bynum, Fred Moore, Gregory Steele, Vince Saladino, and Dr. Tom Cothran, and I would like to give a special thanks to my whole work crew, the Cotton Physiology Work Group at Texas A&M University. They're great kids, and they work so hard to get all of our research in and out of the field. Thank you. At this time, I take any questions. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Maturity, the question is, how did we measure maturity and if we truly elongated the season? In final plant mapping, we are going to state that more nodes in treated plots equals a longer growing season. Assuming that one node is added every 2 to 3 days on a cotton plant, if we see any more nodes in the upper terminal of the plants, then we'll determine significance, and final plant mapping should tell us which ones grew longer during the season. Yes, sir.
So, John, you get the combinations of the fund size.
Yes, sir.
With picks.
Yes, sir.
If, I guess I wasn't clear why you meant those combinations. You're trying to extend maturity picks, typically shorten maturity. What were you looking for in those picks?
We didn't want to focus on picks, but I wanted picks to be part of the whole program, along with Roundup or glyphosate. I believe that farmers don't want to make a single chemical pass on a field. So we wanted to include to see if there was any deterrence, if picks being included would have severely deterred yield and separated itself from the rest of results. We wanted to make sure that there were no inadvertent effects with a possible chemical that would be tank mixed and put out over the field. Yes. There were slight differences. Two shots of headline went longer into the year, but at the time where we went to measure, a little storm called Hurricane Ike hit us, so everything at that point was halted in the growing season. So next year, with better growing conditions, replication, hopefully we'll be able to see this project out to the full length of it. No, sir. Physiologically, they grew normal and compared to each other the same. Height to node ratios, nothing inside the project got out of hand or one pushed further out than another. They were all closely correlated. Yes, sir.
Is there any
There's some places in the United States who need a full season to reach full potential yield. The growing seasons are the longest possible. With a Delta Pine 555, you had that potential to go as long as you wanted and to capture the entire conditions of one growing season. With that being removed from the marketplace to deter insect resistance, there needed something to fill a niche. A lot of farmers in South Texas, Mississippi, where I'm from, all need a full season variety, and 555 was their turnkey cottonseed. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. High to node ratios. No, sir. Not inside the trial. Yes, sir. Treatments that had picks and yes, sir. No, sir. I will correlate that this year to severe heat stress and drought-like conditions. It was furrow irrigated, but nothing's as good as natural rain. So we did our best to keep it as live as long as we could.
Let's thank John.
Thank you.
And is Ty here? That concludes our talk for today. We are scheduled to have the Cotton Physiology Researcher of the Year Award, and I thank Ty's here to present that. if somebody can get him. I'd like to thank all the speakers for staying on time and appreciate y'all coming.
Welcome. It's a pleasure to stand up here and serve as committee chair for the Physiologist Award of the Year. A couple of things. Sitting in this and coming through this organization is a pretty humbling experience with many of y'all in the audience. And for me, I kind of look back and thought about, even though it's a very short time for some of you, I think I see a few out there that have, don't even want to mention some numbers, but been here 16 Beltwides now. And so to serve on this committee and lead this and see some of the mentors and colleagues that I've had the opportunity to be associated with, very humbling experience to look at the credentials and the experience and the expertise of our agronomists and physiologists. However, I'm going to pass this honor on to Dr. Tom Cothran to present this award.
You know, it gets pretty bad when you want to admit that you can't read something without glasses, and when you put your glasses on that you wear, you can't see them. I'm going to make an attempt to get through some of this anyway. I'm very pleased this afternoon to be able to introduce our outstanding researcher for cotton physiology this year. The individual grew up on a dairy farm in central Wisconsin, and he received his Bachelor of Science degree in agricultural education from the University of Wisconsin in Madison. From there, he went on to teach high school agriculture and horticulture for 2 years. Having association with someone who is in the teaching profession, I understand why after 2 years he decided to go back and pursue another degree. So he went back to the University of Wisconsin in Madison to complete his master's degree, and I talk about someone who ventured a little farther south maybe than he anticipated, because I'm not real sure that he was very familiar with the cotton plant when he came to Texas A&M University. But he came south and he never went back north. After coming to Texas A&M to complete his PhD, he went to work in the PD Research Center in Florence, South Carolina, and he's been there for his career, beginning there as a research agronomist in 1990. He's continued on to do a lot of work in the area of cotton and cotton physiology. I want to read a few things out of his nomination that are pertinent to his time that he's been there. One of the nominators says that the impact from his research has been large, and he's managed to take concepts from the basic physiology arena and incorporate them into improved field production strategies. For example, that he gave his research on cover crops and minimum tillage on the southeastern coastal plains has led to widespread adoption of these practices in that region. Another thing that he took on is that he has occupied a number of leadership positions, both within the cotton industry and within the scientific community, where he has served as co-chair and chairman of the Physiology Technical Conference of the Beltwide Cotton Conference. He has been the chair of the steering committee for the Cotton Physiology Technical Conference. He served in a number of capacities at the national level, having been an associate editor for Crop Science, Soil Science Society of America, and Agronomy Journal. He's done a lot of work as far as systems, strategies, and more recently has done work on fiber properties and the benefits or the impacts that it can have upon spinning characteristics. He's been a very good collaborator. Not only is he one of my former students, but he's also a very good friend and a good colleague, and I'd like to introduce Phil Bauer. I said it takes a little while for things to come back around. Congratulations. It's really an humbling experience when your students now have the opportunity to do good things. I appreciate it.
Thank you. And thanks to the committee. I'm shocked. I told Tom when he called me up and asked me if I wanted to come down to College Station to get a PhD, I told him I'd never seen a cotton plant before. He said, "That's all right, I'll teach you." So, and he did. And I thank you. Another person I'd like to mention, and she just passed away this year, that I did a lot of work with is Judy Bredo. Judy had been in New Orleans for a number of years, and she got me started on this fiber quality quest that we've been working on, and we miss her. Thank you.
I think it's very befitting that your major professor was involved in this. He's also a previous recipient of this award. This year, and a group of your number 14 now has received a physiologist award that we've been supporting.
Thank you, John.
And here's just a small token of our appreciation.
Thank you.